From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, we are skipping the next break in between votes in the House and doing his work and his lunch. He's joining us. He'll be with us till about 23, 24 after. So note to networks, we're skipping the next break. Congressman Ron Paul joins us, former presidential candidate as a Libertarian, then for president. He has been, for decades, warning about how the international banking system would cause a world implosion. He's been intensely warning the last few months on national television and Congress and here on this radio show. And I specifically want to get from him the breakdown of what's happening, this unprecedented power that the Treasury is asking for to make itself a private hedge fund and also to give themselves amnesty from any crimes that have been committed by the financial order. Paul Watson has the headline on PrisonPlanet.com, Bush and McCain blackmail America with economic terrorism. The two parties have circled the wagons. They're saying you must give us unlimited power and $5 trillion, according to Bloomberg's, the real number, Bloomberg Financial, or depression will strike, which itself is enough to send the markets into oblivion. So please, Congressman Ron Paul, who was just questioning Bernanke in the Banking Committee yesterday, the only one asking real questions, tell us what we're truly facing right now. Who are the culprits? Do people need to be brought to justice for this so that the criminal activity stops? And what is your idea of a plan to try to avert what's happening versus their stick-up bailout, Congressman?
Well, obviously it is very, very serious, and we've been warning about it, as you have on your radio program, and it's here. But when they say that if we don't do exactly as they say and turn over more of our money and more of our liberties and exempt themselves from any court in the whole nation, they're trying to intimidate us and stampede us into doing the wrong thing. But they're also right when they say that if they don't do that, we're going to have serious problems. Yes, we are. But we're going to have much more serious problems if we do what they want.
We lost him. I'll call him back.
Okay, classic there, ladies and gentlemen. We lost the congressman over the congressional phone line system. Snafu there, but at least we've got 10 minutes left with you. Go back to where you were. You were dealing with the very people that have engineered this are now saying give us unlimited blank check power.
Yeah, that's what they want, and they don't want any review of any court. So they want dictatorship. They want to pass all the penalty and suffering on the average person on Main Street. They talk about illiquid assets, but what they should say is assets that have no value, then everybody would know what they're talking about. And they just want to dump the real assets on us, and the bankers and others who are in special locations will pick up pieces of the good assets that were left over. And we will have a depression or recession. It's locked in place due to the previous Federal Reserve action. The only question is whether this will last 1 year or 10 years and a full decade, and we lose a lot of liberties in the meantime. And I was saying earlier that it looks like, from what I sense in this Congress, they're opting out for a decade plus of depression rather than saying, well, let's correct our ways, let's balance the budget, let's cut taxes, let's bring our troops home and do the all sensible things. And what they're going to do is more of the same of printing money and spending, so that will prolong the agony and prevent the correction that is mandatory.
If we're talking about 13 to 15% real inflation compounded, that is going to be devastating to people on fixed incomes. But the general economy itself is already grinding to a halt right here in Texas, even in Austin, supposedly the most successful city in the country right now. Things are bad, Congressman.
Yeah, and, you know, we've had an addition over in our area, you know, along the coast. We've had the addition of the hurricane problem. But, you know, if you're starting to feel it there, you can imagine what it must be like living in Nevada and California and Michigan and all these other places that have been suffering for a lot longer than a month or two. It's been a year or two. And there's still a long way to go. And my point is, as long as you prevent and slow up the liquidation and the correction, the longer the pain and the suffering lasts.
What about criminal charges? I mean, there's no doubt that the brokerage firms and hedge funds that put out all this fake paper knew they were engaging in criminal activities. I mean, don't we need to have some investigations and then prosecutions so that Wall Street will stop engaging in these activities?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, but probably if you wanted to prosecute the most guilty party, you'd have to prosecute the Federal Reserve Board and the politicians who promote that, because that's where the biggest fraud is. Yes, that is true. This encourages fraud and deceit and all this speculation. But I like to see that as local as possible. Just remember, not too many years ago when Enron went bankrupt, it motivated everybody to say, hey, there's not enough regulation. So they passed Sarbanes-Oxley, which was totally unnecessary and has hurt our economy. And Enron people were prosecuted under Texas anti-fraud laws. So
I agree.
Some idea of getting the FBI involved, that's sort of the FBI BATF approach, and we don't like national police. So, yes, they should be convicted and put in prison when they defrauded the public.
So you want to see state grand juries in the proper role under the 10th Amendment that have very serious teeth, and the crime is public, so they need to convene grand juries right now.
Yeah, and we have proper authority for that, and it's an experience with it. And I think the Enron case is a good example.
Okay, solutions. I mean, you have won World Economic Awards. I know you don't like to toot your horn, but you've won some of the most prestigious awards out there by different schools of economics. Of course, the Austrian School, the von Mises Institute. What is your plan? What would you do right now if you were the president and you were having this meeting coming up in a few hours? What would Ron Paul do?
Of course, you have to realize a constitutional president is cautious about not becoming a dictator himself. I know what the policy should be, of course, and you have to find out what the Congress is going to do. But there would be a lot you could do. You could probably, I think the most important thing is to send the message that we're going to quit living beyond our means. And a president can set the standard for that, and he has the most control under the Constitution on foreign policy. He could say, look, no more wars. We're done with these wars. We're not going to take on the Russians. We're not going to go take on people in Venezuela. We're going to start talking to the Cubans and bring our troops home and save hundreds of billions of dollars. That would send a powerful message that the dollar would respond to, and actually oil prices would come down. But then you have to get a consensus. You have to get people and say, look, are you ready for a new idea about government, something that the founders knew about? Government should be limited to protecting liberties. We have to talk about unraveling the welfare state, and we have to give up our ideas of world empire. And that is the most important thing a president could do. In the meantime, the policy ought to be shrink the size of government, decrease the regulation, work toward the sound money, remove the authority of the Fed to create money out of thin air, and get tax reduction. We need radical tax reduction. They want more money in the economy. Well, If we didn't have an income tax and did away with the spending, we'd all be a lot richer. And all of a sudden, I think we would thrive in a short period of time. I would permit the liquidation of debt to continue.
All right, Congressman, we have the AP reporting that financial bailout agreement has been reached. Basically, they're going along with almost all of what Paulson called for in his new financial imperium, or failing forward. Getting back to prosecution, I mean, if you're saying go after the Fed governors, are you talking about Alan Greenspan, the former chairman? Are you talking about Helicopter Ben? Who are you talking about?
All of them, but in a way, that's a symbolic gesture, because they are people who have been put in office, you know, through the system and the president. I don't think we'd get anywhere on that. But morally speaking, they're the culprits. And, in 1792, when we had our first coinage act, they said anybody that counterfeited money deserved the death penalty. That's what they thought, because they hated inflation. And here we are. We endorse inflation, legalize it, and put, you know, how long was Alan Greenspan considered the maestro? The nobody would say boo to him. And here he set up the whole stage of this whole problem that we have.
And really, he's just a little man behind the curtain running the scam. We only had about 4 minutes left with you, Congressman. I wanted to get into the Army Times last week announcing regular combat brigades to be rotated in for crowd control with microwave guns, non-lethal weapons. We see the federal expansion preparing for social breakdown. So you and many others, and 70% of the American people in major polls are against the bailout. But instead, the establishment in Congress and both parties are saying, we don't care, and we're going to go ahead and go with this handover to the private banksters after they've committed all these crimes. Are you concerned about civil unrest if a depression comes or if this deepens? And you know, how do we counter that when they start activating regular army groups in the United States?
Well, it's going to be tough because that's the movement. And, you know, they tell you what their attitude is with that provision in the Paulson's bill, which says we're exempt from the courts. We don't even want the courts to look at this. They may modify that language, but you know what their attitude is. And they want to be lawless. They don't want to be held accountable. And that's why it is extremely dangerous. I talk about the economic dangers, and we all should be concerned because we want a high standard of living. But ultimately, the only thing that counts is our freedom. You know, we could be very, very poor. We could wipe out a lot of wealth in this country. But if we had our freedoms and the market and sound money, we would all go back to work quickly. We would help our neighbors and our friends, and we would be wealthy in a short period of time. So that's why what you're talking about, are we going to have martial law or are we going to have more freedoms? And the more problems that we have, the more likely it is that we're going to have martial law. So I do think they anticipate and make plans for these things.
In closing, Congressman, you have to tell the fact that government is always co-opted by private corporations and corrupt systems, and no matter how much good you try to put into it, it always turns out becoming corrupted. But at the same time, people losing their homes, companies falling apart, the real economy being raided by Wall Street right now with the previous bailout money, banning the shorting only on themselves, but then turning the dogs loose on the real economy. I know you're against the bailout of the bankers. Is it a lesser evil to have some type of bailout of the infrastructure itself because we're like an emaciated person that's been thrown up on the shore? Or what do you say to that?
And what do you mean by infrastructure? Are you talking about material infrastructure, roads, highways, and things?
Well, all of it, and then people losing their houses. I mean, if we're going to have a bailout, shouldn't it be of the American people? I mean, I know that's bad, too, but, I mean, better?
On principle, I wouldn't endorse that, but I also always have a program of transition. If money is to be spent, we have to pay for it. Just recently, we had a disaster relief program, and I voted against it. And I did because we don't have the money. But I'm not against doing some of that, but I'm against building the deficit to do it. I would cut, if we need $10 billion for survival reasons here or infrastructure, I would cut $20 billion overseas, put 10 against the deficit, and use 10 here at home. And that's not perfect, but it's so much better than continue to spend money and expand our programs overseas and getting ourselves into so much trouble.
So the lesser of two evils. Well, I certainly agree with you there. This is the final question, Congressman. They're saying that they're going to go ahead and go with the bailout. Do you think that's going to fall apart, or do you think the scaremongering by both parties' leaders of imminent depression is going to get this rammed through? And then down the road, how bad do you think this will accelerate the hyperinflation?
Well, it's going to be inflationary, but it might calm the markets for a little while, but it will not solve the problem. It just delays the inevitable. But yesterday I would have said, boy, there's no way they can get these votes. Today, arm twisting and giving everybody benefits and boosting this package up and passing out more funds, it looks like they're going to defy the American people. And it tells you how close the two parties are, because you see all of a sudden you don't see McCain and Obama fighting over this. They both endorse these bailout principles.
And you see Clinton endorsing basically McCain. I mean, it's a love fest.
So that tells you that they are in charge, and that we've complained a lot about the political system and why anybody who truly objects to the establishment can't get very far in today's establishment.
Is that why you're endorsing Chuck Baldwin over the Republican candidate?
I reject the two-party system, the two candidates. So, yes, I did pick Chuck over.
Congressman, I think this could end up destroying the New World Order globalist system. I think they've overreached, and this is badly coordinated, and I think this is finally going to destroy the people's confidence in this giant mega state. Do you agree with that?
I think that's a possibility, because I think they get to the point where they think they're like God and they can control everything. They don't realize the market really is more powerful than all the bankers and all the politicians. The markets rule it just takes the time, and they're sorting out the who's going to be the victims and all. They think they have control, but ultimately, you know, it's the underground economy that that is the real economy. So I think they could overstep themselves, and hopefully we can come out with a better world afterwards.
Well, we're really blessed to have you up there watching the Banking Crime Syndicate there on the House Banking Committee, Congressman, and we just want to thank you. Please plug some of the websites and the book or any other information or any congressional websites that people might want to check into.
Okay, if you go to ronpaul.org and go to all my websites, but the most significant right now is Campaign for Liberty. But either one will find me. I'm found very easily on the Internet.
Sir, thank you for your time. Take care.
Okay.